Grossy Posse Packer Nation. Welcome to another episode of Packcast, the podcast where you don't have to be a Packers fan, but it sure does help. I'm your host, Tom Grossy, and this Thursday, oh man, do we have a game. It's returning to good old Seattle, the scene of the crime, if you will, from the 2014 NFC Championship game, a game that I still have nightmares about. But we are going in and facing a hot Seattle team, just barely losing to the Rams on Sunday, and one that I would just love to win. And so with that being said, we brought on our Seattle Seahawks fan, and this week we got Seahawks fan Ethan with us. Ethan, how are you, bud?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. And I mean, I'll get this out of the way right away, is that when it comes to teams that I strongly dislike the most, the Seattle Seahawks are pretty high up there because of the Fail Mary, because of the 2014 NFC Championship game. And like, while I know in the past couple years we really haven't had a rivalry, we haven't run into each other as much, I can tell you, like, when I saw this game on the schedule, my blood started boiling right away.
You know, on my end, it's like every year, if we get the Packers, I'm just praying it's not at Lambeau, because you guys shred us over there. And I know if we get you guys at home, you just have a shot then, but you've had our number the past two times.
Well, I think also, you know, one of the things that Dom Capers was pretty good at, it was playing Russell. Like, Russell Wilson had some terrible games when Dom Capers was our DC. Now we got a brand spanking new DC. He ain't got no hair. Mike Pettin. And I'm curious to see what he's going to whip up. You're 100% correct, though. If this game was at Lambeau, I like the Packers' chances a whole lot more. But considering that it is in Seattle, it's a primetime game Thursday night. I mean, I think the fireworks are going to be flying. I think it's going to be a super-duper close game.
Yes. I mean, I think both teams offensively are looking pretty hot. Defense maybe a little bit thin, especially with Aaron. The Seattle secondary has been a little bit soft. They play well, but they leave a lot of space in the middle of the field. And Jared Goff has diced him up twice now, and yeah, Aaron is probably going to do more of the same, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, like, I want to talk about that defense for a second. So for a while, obviously, you know, you go to Super Bowls, you win a Super Bowl, you know, you go through all that, and your team is basically defined by this Legion of Boom, right? This elite defense that you've put together. And over the years, it's kind of just, like, dwindled and dwindled and dwindled away. And while the Seahawks have also had, like, offensive line issues, trying to get a solid running back and all that stuff, I feel like the main story, at least from a Packers perspective or a Packers fan perspective, is that, like, I don't know what the Seahawks' identity is in 2018. And considering you're losing at this point, like, we'll talk about Earl Thomas in a moment, but, like, kind of where do you see this team going right now if they're not defined by their defense? Is it like a Russell Wilson team? Is it still like a Pete Carroll team? Because I just don't see it on the defensive side.
I'd say it's really it's kind of like Pete's vision coming back to life again. So the defense is really young, and they have a lot of talented guys who are learning how to play. It reminds me a lot of the 2012 Seattle team that went to the divisional round and lost to the Falcons. But on offense, they're just running the ball really well this year and actually doing better than they ever did, even with Marshawn back there. They put up, I think, 228 against the Rams. They've had 150 yards for six games straight now. Mm-hmm. But they don't have that big play receiver that most other teams have. Even guys like Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin have done well this year, but they just don't pass the ball that much, and they're never really going to be racking up 100-yard games and stuff like that. Yeah. I'd probably say the face of the team, though, outside of Russell, is Bobby Wagner, who is probably one of the best middle linebackers in the league, if not the best.
Yeah, and I feel like your team has definitely undergone some change. Like that NFC West, I feel like if you just look back within the past like 5 to 7 years, just like how crazy it's been. Like, we had like a 2-year span where like the 49ers and the Seahawks was like the greatest rivalry in football, right? Like,
yeah, it's been a while.
It was insane.
It's been a wild ride. And even the Cardinals there for 2 or 3 years were one of the best teams in football. They were, you guys were battling with them in the NFC Championship game, and it's really kind of crazy how the Rams went from being kind of the bottom feeders of the division. Now they're at the top. The 49ers went from the class of the NFC to the bottom, and the Cardinals went down just as fast as they came up. But yeah. The thing about the West is everyone comes to play, and they're not really any easy games. I mean, Seattle barely beat Arizona in Josh Rosen's first start, and that was a pretty horrendous Arizona squad they played. And then you'd see them play the Rams, who you think would wipe the floor with them, and they took them down to the wire both games. Yeah. So. Never really in the West.
Well, I think it's also interesting, like, how, like, the tables are completely flipped. Like, the Rams used to play you guys, like, super-duper hard, and they pull out, like, every trick play they possibly have, right? And they'll, like, usually get, like, a game, maybe, like, away from you guys per season. And now it's, like, the complete opposite. Like, you are the underdog now. And, you know, you have Jimmy Garoppolo obviously out for the season, but, you know, the 49ers are kind of sort of up and coming. The Cardinals, yeah, who knows what's going on in the Cardinals. They hope to be up and coming, but they got to get rid of a couple people and get a new team going on. But, you know, you guys are kind of just still there. And earlier in the season, I'm not going to lie, like, I kind of counted this game out because I was like, oh, okay, hopefully the Packers start hitting their stride. The Seahawks aren't really looking so good. But now, like, you guys are in it. You know, you will be fighting for a wild card spot in a very competitive NFC.
No, most definitely. And the tough part about that is our coaching staff, particularly Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer, they're a little bit behind the times in terms of the other coaches in the West. So you have McVay and Shanahan, who are so young and forward-thinking offensively, whereas the Hawks are kind of still running an offense that's maybe, I don't want to say 10 or 15 years behind, but it's not on the cutting edge necessarily. Mm-hmm. So a guy like Russell, they're not maximizing his talent probably. But yeah, we really have turned it around lately, and the defense has come together in the run game. To be honest, I thought we would be able to give you guys a run for your money all year long because being at home on a primetime Thursday night primetime game. But I think it'll be really tough at this point to fight for that playoff spot because just the teams we're facing coming up are so strong. We have the Chiefs, Vikings, Panthers, obviously you guys who are fighting for your playoff lives too.
Yeah.
It's a tough stretch down the final seven games, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, I just identified with you so hard of saying, like, not maximizing your quarterback's potential. Huh, I wonder where I ever heard that before. I was just like, oh, man, that got real quick. So, trust me, I hear you on that. So kind of also a big story coming out of Seattle was the whole Earl Thomas – can I call it debacle? I feel like it was a debacle.
I think you can.
Right? Like, just like the craziness of that saga in which Earl Thomas, with amongst others, not in Seattle, but like around the league, holding out, hoping to get, you know, a better contract, kind of get more money, what have you, comes back to play, right? Then he broke his leg, I believe, right?
Yeah, week four against the Cardinals, he broke his leg.
Yeah, breaks his leg, and while he's being carted off the field, flips off the Seahawks sideline. So.
Yeah, that's correct.
Can you, like, just give me any insight as a fan? Because, like, watching as a Packer fan, I was like, wow. Because, like, you know, I feel bad for the guy because you have, like, you have Le'Veon Bell, right, who's, like, holding out and is basically like, listen, like, I'm just going to get paid and that's the way that it's going to be. And then you have a guy like Earl Thomas who is like, I'm going to come back and play for the team, and he just suffers, like, the worst twist of fate because of that. And, like, I feel like now, moving forward, you're going to have more of those Le'Veon Bell-type people where they're like, listen, I'm not going to risk getting injured because now he's going to be a free agent coming off. I think he's going to be, like, 30 years old, and he's coming off a major injury. You know, he just severely limited his his payday.
No, definitely. And a guy like Earl, I mean, we love him in Seattle, and he's, I think, at least a three-time All-Pro. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I just think with him, he knew that he wanted that contract extension that he saw other guys getting. I mean, Russell Wilson got the money that he was looking for. And just he had a he broke his leg, I think, 2 years ago. Cam Chancellor ran into him on a play. He hurt his shoulder back in 2014. And he's, I mean, at the end of the day, he was looking out for his own best interest. And when he enters that contract, I see where the owners and a lot of fans come from, that yes, they're obligated to play it out, but you know, he's looking out for his family, he's trying to take care of himself, and you've seen Le'Veon Bell do that, and I don't think he's gonna break that holdout anytime soon.
No.
And you just wonder if Earl had done that. I don't think Seattle would have paid him, but I think he would have been able to get traded, and maybe he'd be on the Chiefs or even the Cowboys right now and maybe have another shot at a Super Bowl title if he went to Kansas City.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, and I definitely feel for him, and you know, and I hope that you know things get like he's you know he heals up well and is able to go compete for another team because he's like you said he's a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you two kind of random questions that I want to throw in here real quick because I'm that bitter still. The Fail Mary. let's talk about it. Like real quick. I know you're like, hey Tom, what's your list of topics? And I wasn't gonna talk about it, but I'm like, you know what? Now that I have you, I gotta talk about it. Okay. Fail Mary. For me, real bad moment. Not as bad as the 2014 championship game, but real bad moment. What is your take on the Fail Mary?
I think I'll take the stance that Marshawn Lynch took on that, and if any Packers fan wants a steak dinner, I'll be happy to give them that and keep our W on that one.
Okay, that is fair enough of an answer. That's definitely fair enough. And then speaking of Marshawn Lynch, the Super Bowl against the Patriots, right? So while you crush our hopes and dreams. And any resemblance of happiness in 2014, you go to the Super Bowl, you lose on the 1 yard line with the interception to Malcolm Butler. As a fan, like I wanted to ask this question. So you guys obviously make it to the Super Bowl. It's this big thing. You're close to winning after an incredible comeback against the Packers in the championship game. If you were to know the outcome of that Super Bowl, that you were going to be that close, would you rather been like, hey, Packers, just go to the Super Bowl?
To be honest, I think if I knew it was going to end that way and the team did, they probably would have rather lost the NFC Championship, and I think that would have preserved a lot of the team chemistry that all went out the door after that loss, the one-yard line. I mean, this team has really never been the same since that. The defense kind of got torn apart. You had some guys that were still with Pete, other guys turned against him. You had people who thought ownership was just trying to make Russell the face of the franchise and steal a MVP award from Marshawn Lynch. It really has probably set the franchise back a few years. And if you look, it just, you know, the team hasn't been that same family ever since, and we're just trying to get back there now.
Yeah, it's actually really funny you said that because I can't tell you how many comments I see, especially when the Packers start doing poorly, of like, we've never been the same since 2014. Like, we've never been the same. So, like, you guys, you got to the Super Bowl, you have that heartbreaking loss. We have the heartbreaking loss in that, like, we're finally going to get Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. We're literally 2 minutes away from going in, and then it completely falls apart. Right, so I feel like for both of our franchises, while the Packers look at 2014 as like this abysmal dark year, you guys kind of do the same from what it sounds like. It's just a game later.
Yes, I mean, that's definitely how I feel. And even if you look at it, if we were going to go to the Super Bowl and lose like we beat the Broncos, that honestly would have hurt less than getting that close, whereas I think every Seahawks fan felt like we had victory in our grasp, and it just to disappear that way. I don't think there's a worse feeling in sports than that.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, it's pretty brutal. I think the only like Super Bowl that can maybe compare to that is the Falcons, like, and that they're like, we're gonna win, guys, and then just go so wrong so quickly.
Yeah.
So like, at least we could both sit here and be like, hey, at least we're not the Falcons. But that goes to show, if you beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game, prepare for tragedy to strike in the Super Bowl right afterwards. I think that's why the Packers should just keep on going. But that being said, before we look at Thursday's game, you were mentioning the kind of rough schedule that you had ahead. So considering how competitive the conference is, in that the Rams are obviously going to lock up the West, the Saints are most likely going to do the South, and maybe you'll have the Panthers sneak in there. Who knows what the Falcons are doing? The East will maybe produce a contender, right? Like maybe the Cowboys, maybe the Eagles, or hell, the Redskins are, I think, winning the division, so it doesn't matter. And then maybe potentially two teams from the NFC North in Packers, Vikings, Vikings, Bears, you know, Bears, Packers, what have you. It could be, it's a mess. But that being said, with your long stretch, how do you see the rest of your season playing out?
So if I had to go game by game, I know this will make the Packers fans angry, but I think we'll beat them this Thursday. I think the Panthers game will be a toss-up. It really depends on how well the running game shows up and also how well our run defense shows up. Because that's in Carolina. Historically, we've never really put up much offensively there. We've always been showing up pretty late in the game. So that one is a big question mark for me. I think we can beat the 49ers both times we get them. I think we can beat the Cardinals. Then we have the Vikings at home and the Chiefs at home, and both those are going to be really tough games.
Yeah.
With the Vikings, you never quite know which team is going to show up, so I really have no idea on that one. And the Chiefs, that'll be a heck of a battle. I think that's a Sunday night football game. Mahomes, Wilson, and I just don't know if our defense will be able to keep up with how fast their offense is.
Yeah. No, I think it's a tough sledding for the Seahawks kind of going through. But you mentioned that you think the Seahawks are going to be coming away with a victory on Thursday. Kind of what are you looking for in this game? Obviously, you guys get the home field advantage, which is going to be a significant boost. But as we were talking about before, like how Rodgers has kind of – he's had their number ever since, you know, the 2014 game. You know, kind of what do you see, like, the key matchups being? You know, how you see the game playing out? You know, is it going to be, like, super-duper close, high scoring? How do you see it going out?
I think the biggest thing will be our secondary getting at least one turnover. We didn't get any turnovers against the Rams, and that really hurt us. I think with Rodgers, you can't beat him unless you take the ball away. And Devonta Adams he really hit us hard last year. So I don't know if we can really have anyone lock him down. Maybe Shaquille Griffin can. I think Trey Flowers definitely wouldn't be able to shut him down. And then Bradley McDougal being healthy and being able to play all game, and Tedrick Thompson just keeping up his level of play. I really think this game will come down to how well our defense plays, because we'll be able to put up points, but we know that you guys will too. We'll end up like one of those Rams games where it's just going back and forth, and you know, whoever misses out on one drive will be just left and kind of just run out of time and not necessarily lose the game, but just not have time to score again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is we need to have Aaron Jones actually touch the ball, because when he touches the ball, good things happen. But for whatever reason, Mike McCarthy hates Aaron Jones and doesn't want us to have nice things. So, I think it's definitely going to be a high scoring affair. And, you know, I can see like a big turnover kind of change in the game, but I completely agree that this could be one that goes down to the last second. Unfortunately, I do have a feeling though that like there is potential, like you guys could blow us out. And I mean that in the night, because it's a short week. You know, the Packers do not, like, I think the last time that Rodgers won was like 2008, I think, in Seattle. It's been a long, long time. You know, McCarthy joked today that you guys have a really good stereo system there, but it's I think it's going to be a really good game. I'm happy that it's on prime time, I think it's definitely going to be something.
Yeah, and this Seahawks team is going to be really motivated, because we're coming off two really, really, really tight losses against good teams, and then Chris Carson is probably going to be back in the lineup, and so is DJ Fluker, and both them. They sat out on Sunday, so they've had a long time to recover. Carson will be really fresh, and this offensive line is different when Fluker's in there. He really manhandles some guys.
Yeah. So last thing before I let you go, so kind of looking ahead, like way into the future, I know offensive line has kind of plagued you guys for a while. It looks like you have like at least what, two running backs that seem to know what they're doing, and they're able to kind of put up some yards. Kind of where do you see this team's biggest need, like when it comes to the draft, when it comes to free agency, and kind of moving forward? I know it's a young defense, you know, but kind of where do you see their biggest need?
I'd say definitely defensive line. We can never really have enough pass rush, and we need more. We lost Mike Bennett and Cliff Averill are both gone now. Frank Clark and Jaron Reed have played really well on the D-line. But for all we know, Clark could be gone in free agency with how well he's been playing, and it'll be a little bit tougher to afford him, and you never want to overpay for talent that is a little more replaceable, because you can't always get a lot of good pass rushers in the draft. And I think probably another guy at outside linebacker. KJ Wright's really solid, and then Bobby is really good in the middle. But if they can just get someone else to kind of learn under those two, then you can possibly have another potential all-pro guy on that defense, which is kind of what we had happen with Earl Thomas was the only first-round pick out of that whole Legion of Boom crew.
Yeah.
Sherman was late. He was fifth round. Cam Chancellor was fifth round. Brandon Browner was out of the Canadian Football League, and then Maxwell and some of those other guys were lower draft picks too. But just Pete is such a good coach for defensive backs that I think if we're able to get that pass rush and he has more time with these young guys to coach them up and they start developing, I think we'll be in a pretty good place going forward.
There you go. I mean, and it sounds like, and not that you guys are like in rebuilding mode, but it's kind of like that where you have like the Rams who look like they're going to be dominant for at least a couple more years, and you'll kind of be like chasing them a little bit. But you guys will always kind of just be in contention. You'll always just be there.
Yes. That's what I kind of feel like too, where the Rams, I think going in, everyone knew, and I think the Seahawks knew too. We have to play our absolute best and hope the Rams do something wrong to beat them.
Yeah.
It's not like if we just do our best and they play their best, we'll win, because no, they just won't. I mean, they have Aaron Donald, they have Ndamukong Suh, Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, and to be honest, they're going to be probably coached better offensively too. So it's really hard to beat a team like that. And I think you guys came really close. I really was pulling for you guys to beat the Rams, but
yeah, that's thankfully Ty Montgomery won't be there on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind if someone fumbled some kick returns when there was no need to even bring it out.
Yeah, I would mind greatly. So if that could not happen, that would be great. But I think, like you said, it's definitely gonna be a good game on Thursday. And I have a special place in my black cold dead heart for the Seahawks. And they're like, anytime we play, like that time, like their Lambeau, like when we had like, what was that, like 5 picks? Oh God, that was a happy
day. Yeah,
that was
miserable.
That was a great time. But you know what? I think this actually, I'm not gonna lie, speaking with you, I think it's kind of like put some closure because of how badly you were affected by 2014. Like your pain has kind of eased my pain, and I feel like we should just move forward now and hope that the Packers win. And like, I think we're both in agreement that the Packers definitely should win on Thursday, as I think you've been saying the whole podcast. But like, I feel like now we're good. Like, I feel like I'm going to finally move on now. I'm going to get over it, and I'm going to go have a stiff drink and forget 2014 ever happened. But I can take some solace in knowing that you'll be doing the same.
Yeah. I think our biggest advantage this week will be that you guys have Mike McCarthy that can help us out a little bit on the coaching side.
Oh, what a shot right to the chest, right as I was about to let you go, right? All right, well warranted. But you know what? Listen, you don't have Golden Tate this time to help you cheat and win the game, so it's...
Or the replacement refs.
Yeah, or the replacement refs. That is very true. At least there was one good thing that came out of that, and that we just didn't have to see them ever again. Now we're just stuck with the regular refs. But Ethan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I want to thank you for coming on the show. And I wish you luck in the rest of the season, especially against the Vikings, just not on Thursday.
Yes, thank you. Likewise, Tom. I really appreciated it.
Absolutely, buddy. Oh, man, if there's a team that I want to beat, it's the Seattle Seahawks. And hopefully that comes to fruition because, again, Packers fans, we are in playoff times. We'll see what happens. You can always find me at TomGrassiComedy.com, TOMGROSSI Comedy, or Tom Grassi Comedy on the Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, and also Twitch. Also, check out PackCast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, and, of course, here on YouTube. But you can also head over onto SeatGeek, and for your first ticket purchase, if you use the promo code TOMGRASSI, you'll save yourself 20 smackaroos. So link for that will be in the description, so check that out. It saves you $20 and helps out the show, so thank you very much. But Thursday night, in front of the lights, let's go kick some sea chicken ass. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Tom Grassi, and as always, go Pack Up.